1077 RKR, The Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, joined on the phone by the host of a new Discovery special that's airing today called Bigfoot Took Her. She's also a member of Expedition X. Welcome to The Rocker Morning Show, Jessica Chobot. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Really excited about this new special that's dropping tomorrow. First off, I know you've lived all sorts of different places, but I know you actually grew up not too far away from us in Kalamazoo over in Novi. How long did you live in Michigan for?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I still have family out there. My sister went to Kalamazoo. I lived out there, gosh, since seventh grade, so I don't even want to tell you how long that was. Long enough, but yeah, it was a while, and I still have most of my family still out there.
Tell me about this case that you've been working on, and why you think Bigfoot, of all things, is being blamed for this puzzling missing persons case.
It's this really unique case from the 80s of this missing girl named Teresa Beer. She went missing in the Sierras. There was a gentleman by the name of Skip who was a family friend. I don't want to give too much away, but he was a family friend. He was known around town as the local, like, Bigfoot guy. He would take folks up there and show them around and tell them about Bigfoot and how Bigfoot lived and this, that, and the other thing. And he was convinced that he could commune with Bigfoot.
Oh, geez.
He was also friends with some of Teresa's family members. It was a tough life growing up for her. And one day he basically said he'd take her up into these mountains, and she never came home. Police questioned him, and he said that, you know, she had run off with Bigfoot. And police let it stand. And to this day, it remains unsolved. It kind of like hit this moment in the 80s at the same time where pop culture was really embracing Bigfoot for some reason. I mean, Harry and the Hendersons had just come out. It was like on everybody's mind. And then this guy gets questioned. He drops this as an excuse as to why this girl goes missing. And, you know, the newspapers, of course, have a field day with it. And the fact that the police didn't immediately, I think, jump on that. And we go into reasons why on the show.
Yeah.
I think really from a public's perspective was like, what the heck?
Right, because that sounds like a National Enquirer headline. It's like, how the hell did that pass by, you know?
Exactly what it is, yeah. Exactly what it is. It's just such a strange thing to go in there to do this investigation so many years later and really... and try and tackle it in a way where you look at all the angles, and one of those angles is Bigfoot. I mean, I just don't, you know, it was very interesting conversations in the car, for sure.
So when it came to doing this show, did they reach out to you to be a part of it?
Yeah, so I have a good relationship with Discovery. I'd worked on a show called Expedition X, which did focus on paranormal and cryptids for about 7 seasons. And then when they had this show come up, and they also knew that I was just also into true crime, they said kind of like, you would be perfect for this. Would you be willing to go and tackle this case with luckily my co-host is an ex LAPD officer of 20 years who actually did focus on children's cases. And so being teamed up with him was like an extra treat because I knew my way of doing things from a paranormal cryptid perspective, and he knew the way of doing things from an actual, like, investigative police perspective. And on top of that, he had great access, so we were able to go through a lot of the old police files, witnesses and whatnot that I think, had I been on my own without a teammate like that, we wouldn't have gotten nearly the kind of access and ability to go through stuff as we did. So that was really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like you mentioned too, you work with an investigator of almost 30 years. Does working a case involving a mythical, like, urban legend add a layer of difficulty in trying to solve the actual case?
I mean, for sure. Because then you start thinking, and this kind of extends even to my previous work on the other show, is that these cryptids or these mythical beasts, are they just misidentified animals truly out in the wild? So that adds a whole other element into the mix. Like, okay, so let's say this guy took her up into the woods he's saying he didn't kill her. What if she got attacked by something, or she ran off and got attacked by something, and he's just afraid? What did she get attacked by? Are we looking, we're looking at people. Should we not be looking at people? Should we be looking at the environment, or is it a combination of the two? So it just adds, and then on top of it, you go to somebody that you're trying to interview, or you go to the police and you say, well, this is what we're looking into, and you name drop Bigfoot. It's not normally... It's not, it doesn't, it, doors opened, but I wouldn't say they swung open.
Right. So,
you know, it adds an element of difficulty to re-researching this stuff where you want, you take it seriously and you need to portray to the people that you're trying to gain access to that you're also taking this seriously as well.
Right, and that you're not like, there to like clown around or anything.
Legend being associated. Yeah, exactly.
Why is it, do you think, that like people in this town have flat out just been convinced it was Bigfoot? Because from what I know, there's a lot of evidence that suggests most likely was not Bigfoot, but it seems like a lot of people are still sticking to that story.
I honestly, I think it's just the nature of the town in some ways. You go there now, even now, and there's Bigfoot all over the place. There's, you know, the Bigfoot cutouts, there's Bigfoot beef jerky, there's Bigfoot this, there's Bigfoot that. It just, it's just kind of part of the mountains, and it's right on the cusp, if I remember incorrectly, it's right on the cusp of Yosemite, which is also supposedly a big Bigfoot hotspot.
Right.
So I think it's just kind of baked into the culture.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm happy about the resurgence of a lot of shows, like the show that you're doing with the Paranormal Investigations, and shows like Unsolved Mysteries, which are kind of talking about these hot topic issues involving these cryptids and these urban legends, which used to be laughed and mocked at, but they involve real people who are very serious about what they've seen. What are some of your personal most like intriguing mysteries that you've dealt with?
I can't believe I'm admitting this on the radio. I went out to Utah in Vernal, where they have the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
I had gone out there to shoot our show focused on UFO sightings that were in the area. However, apropos of literally nothing, because we were focusing on UFOs, we did see what we were told afterwards was a skinwalker. And we actually, and we being myself, my co-host, who's a scientist, by the way, he definitely is not into paranormal. He was always playing the foil to my, you know.
Yeah.
He was the Mully to my scolder, whatever. I'm sorry. Him, myself, our camera guy, two camera guys, and our producer saw a gentleman hitchhiker at 4 a.m. in the middle of nowhere in Utah in the winter totally disappear.
Whoa.
And then when we got home, back to our hotel, everybody went to their own floor and started hearing voices and giggling because it had followed us back. And so we actually had to connect ourselves back with a local Native American elder who had been on the show at the top of the show to show us these petroglyphs. And he was like, yeah, you took a skinwalker. It followed you home. You need to come to my house and we need to do a cleansing on you and your equipment and everyone on your crew. And so we did. We had to go. We went and did that because all of us were really freaked out. It was probably one of the most distinct experiences in all of my years of doing this that I think everybody was scared.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Brandon Fugel, the owner of the ranch, I think it was a couple of years ago, and it was the same kind of thing too, where he was initially intrigued by, you know, by the stories, but it wasn't until he actually bought the land and got in there, same kind of situation where you're exposing yourselves to things that are just completely unheard of. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, and I gave you the like quick notes version of it.
Yeah.
There was just so much weird stuff happening that night that we couldn't explain, and it was just really, really terrifying.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm looking forward to this. Bigfoot Tugger, it's going to be on Discovery. It debuts tomorrow. Today, it's going to be a really exciting fun because this is a very interesting story, but I'm going to easily get sucked into this. It's a three-part story that's on Discovery. And Jessica, it was an honor to talk to you, and good luck with the future and the investigation and all your future shows as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Totally, Jessica. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.